Radio, KPFT.org, Twitter.com/KPFT, Facebook.com/KPFT Houston.
Yeah, what's up?
KPFT is supported in part by the West University Baha'i Community. A moment for reflection. Strive that your actions, day by day, may be beautiful prayers. Turn towards God and seek always to do that which is right and noble. For more information or to find your local community, visit www.bahai.us, BAHAI.US, or call 1-800-22-UNITE. You're tuned in to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valensky,
Brian Levinka,
Jonathan Kraft,
Matthew Williams,
Summer Iman,
and Glenn Holt. And tonight on Queer Voices, have gay pride parades become too, well, non-gay?
Plans. We added to that first segment. It's not going to be there. We're going to have the Houston Pride Band for the first segment.
We were able to get the Houston Pride Band to come in at the last second. They have a concert coming up.
I'm sure that they'll be more gay.
They're ultra gay.
Okay. Following that discussion, and I don't know, are we going to have some music to go with it too?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Following that discussion, an expansion on a topic handled recently on KUHF's Houston Matters show, which looked at how well Houston ranks as a city that's open to GLBT people. In our second hour, a look at how a couple of churches on Houston's north side are leading the effort to celebrate National Coming Out Day in Harris and Montgomery counties. In news wrap, 11 countries and the European Union have affirmed their support for LGBT rights at the 68th session of the United Nations General Assembly in New York. A Superior Court judge in New Jersey has ordered civil marriage opened to same-gender couples in that state. Republican Governor Chris Christie has vowed to appeal. And ExxonMobil has announced that it will expand spousal benefits to the same-gender partners of its legally married gay and lesbian workers, but only because the U.S. Department of Labor requires it to do so. In the feature segments from This Way Out, an interview with the Officer of Ceremonies of the Federation of Gay Games. And, Jack, there's something else coming up as well on the feature segments, and what they sent us to promo, it doesn't even say what it is, so I have no idea.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. One is tomorrow's National Night Out. And now that's not Halloween, as some people may think. What that is that most parts of the country, this is like in the summer when, but here because it's so hot, we moved it to October. What it is that neighbor organizations, civic clubs, and et cetera, basically people get together at, whether it's a park or somebody's house or something, to get to know their neighbors. You know, in a big city like this, we don't always know our neighbors. So that's happening all over the city. There's probably about a couple hundred different events that happens. If you are interested, you may want to call your local police substation. They may know of an event that's happening in your neighborhood. And like I said, it's just a good way that it's good to know your neighbors because that helps in safety. So I'm excited about this story that This Way Out is going to do about ExxonMobil. They're headquartered here in Houston.
Actually, they're not. They're headquartered in Dallas, but they're building a massive Exxon World campus here. So most of their workers will be here, but they still have their corporate office.
Okay,
here,
then I'm mistaken Las about Calinas. Yes, and that's going to be in the Woodlands, I guess.
Exxon World, yes.
So
2,000 Exxonians.
And that is a move forward. Well, let's listen to the report when it comes up. So you're listening to Queer Voices.
If you weren't so stupid, I could have loved you. And if you weren't so stupid, but you're pretty stupid. And if you weren't so busy, I could have loved you. But you work in an office, and you've got other offers. Tell me, what is his name now? What is his name? I'm excited to hear the news. Tell me, what is his name now? What does it say about you? But let's not be friends, or else this will never end. Let's not friends for sure, And if you weren't so ugly, I could have loved you. It's something I tell myself when I'm down to get high. Lord, if you made me a coffee, I could have loved you.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Jonathan Kraft.
And I'm kind of a musical gay. I like to hear, you know, musicals, first of all, and I like to hear pride bands. And I love the Houston Pride Band. And I understand that there's a concert coming up soon. And in the studio, we have the president, Rudy Martinez, and the marketing director, Casey Sherrill.
Evening, everybody.
Welcome.
Hello, hello.
The concert is this Saturday, so we were lucky to get you on tonight.
Yes, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming. Okay, so the concert is called Heroes.
Correct.
Tell me more about that. What is that about, and what can people expect to hear at the concert?
Well, basically, with this concert, we wanted to pay tribute to our heroes.
Is that gay heroes, or just heroes in general?
It can be any kind of hero.
Our heroes that are real and fantasy imagined.
So kind of like a comic book type portrayal of the hero, like a Superman type thing?
Certainly. There are some pieces for Superman. There's Star Wars. Not to mention our actual heroes, those who serve in the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to celebrate those members as well.
And the concert is when, exactly? Let's talk about when and where.
It's Saturday, mm-hmm. At Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church at 3 o'clock p.m.
So I can imagine that you mentioned that you're doing things like Star Wars and Superman, so you have to have a pretty big ensemble to do things like that. So, I mean, what sort of an ensemble do we have? Like, what, you know, sort of orchestral forces will we be looking at on Saturday?
Well, we're certainly missing one of our prime French horns.
as Rudy glares at me.
I think there's a story there I'm not aware of. Maybe
I have been playing with the Houston Pride Band since 2009, only I wasn't able to do this concert because I had a prior engagement that I couldn't break. So that's why they're glaring at me that, you know, they're doing all this John Williams stuff and I'm not able to be there.
I love John Williams.
Me too. How could you not, particularly as a horn player?
Yes, exactly. A gay horn player as well.
I know. Doesn't get much better than that.
So are you going to dress up for this concert? We're going to have people in costumes?
We haven't taken it that far yet, but...
There's so many of us playing in this concert. There's actually going to be 45 performers, which is the largest group that we've had in quite a while. It's going to be kind of difficult to coordinate the costumes with that one, but yeah.
So y'all have really grown a lot over the last couple months then, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
Well, so what do you think has been at the source of that?
You know, I think it's word of mouth. I think it's social media, all those good things.
Yeah, Casey's been really good working with Facebook and Twitter and getting our name out there and to the folks out in Houston and getting new members drummed up and into the performance hall.
Well, great. So what section of the band are you maybe still looking to do some more recruiting in?
So we need oboes. We need clarinets, and we need trumpets, especially the ones who like to march, because we do march in the Pride Parade, Houston Pride Parade every year, and we got to have those trumpets.
And you still need clarinets?
Yes, we do.
Wow, that's funny, because I can remember about a year ago, it used to be like the Houston Pride clarinet section and accompaniment band.
Right, and most of the entire clarinet section sat on the board. So it was run by the clarinets. It was pretty awesome. Wow. Yeah.
So is this your fall concert, or is this like... Okay, so this is your fall... Talk about your other events that you have throughout the year.
Well, we also have... this is our kickoff concert for the season, for the 2013-14 season. In addition to that, we're going to have the AIDS Walk, which is what we do every year in March. As well, in February, we have It's a Woman's World, where we're going to perform music based around women composers and celebrating women. And then in June, we're going to do the Pride Parade, and as well, we're going to do a concert entitled... Casey, do you...
Houston Pride Band Reads a Book.
Reads a Book.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a concert.
That certainly lends itself to music, I would imagine.
Yeah, we're going to partner with the Houston Public Library.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And what sort of pieces of music would you do on a concert entitled The Houston Pride Band Reads a Book? Do you know yet?
Sure don't. Not yet.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll all find out at the same time.
So can we talk about the history of the Pride Band a little bit?
Certainly. Actually, this year marks the 35th year of the band being in existence. We started in 1978 as the Montrose Marchers, and it just went from there and to present day. And, of course, the band has seen an influx of new members most recently. During the 80s, of course, we saw membership drop quite a bit, and... the band had gotten down to not more than maybe 6 members.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we slowly rebuilt it, and now we're back to 45 members, as Casey said. So we're really excited to invite people to come and listen to the band and, you know, try out for the band. We take members of all playing level, skill levels. So
is there an audition?
No, there are no auditions. Come on in and bring a horn. And even if you don't have a horn, we do have some lunar horns for you. Come in and give a listen. We rehearse at Bethel UCC at 7:30 on Wednesday nights. And feel free to come by, give a listen. You want to join us? Come on in and perform with us.
And we were going to talk about the ticket prices of the concert, but the ticket prices are very, very reasonable. They're free, so it's a free concert.
Correct.
So there's no reason not to come out and hear the wonderful Pride Band.
Exactly.
That's true, but we do accept donations.
So is the Pride Band, is it a nonprofit organization?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
So it's a 501c3, so money goes towards the organization, and you do fundraisers throughout the year, I assume.
Correct, and actually this concert is going to be the kickoff for our first fundraiser of the year, which is sponsor a band member. We're asking our friends and family members and local businesses to sponsor individual band members. And from generous donations last year during the concert season, we were able to purchase an entirely new timpani set.
And I'm sure that's not cheap.
No.
Not at all. It's about, like, I would imagine trying to buy a new organ like we're currently trying to do at our church.
So how do you attract new members? Do you go and recruit them, or, I mean, do they just come out of the woodwork, or do they hear you on the radio and then they come?
The gays are everywhere.
We are everywhere.
No. Like Casey's been doing with Facebook, been doing a wonderful job, and actually, they see us at the Pride Parade. We've had quite a few who have shown up after the Pride Parade, whether it be the Pride Parade or actually the Pride Festival. We get people to sign up, and they come out and join us, and just word of mouth.
Very good. If you're joining us, we're speaking with Rudy Martinez and Casey Sherrill from the Houston Pride Band about the upcoming concert on Saturday called Heroes.
And so, we are running very short on time, actually, so just would you mind telling us the details for the concert one more time before we have to be done?
So tickets are free. Excuse me. Tickets are free. It's this Saturday. It's at 3 p.m. Just show up, and we'd love to have you.
Very good. And is there a website?
Yes, HoustonPrideBand.org.
Very good. Well, Rudy and Casey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And this is Queer Voices.
That was Summer Osborne from 2012. the name of the album, The Scenic Route, and the title of the cut, Don't Leave Me Here. This is Queer Voices.
This is Jack Falinski, and every so often we bring Ray Hill in to talk about a few things. And one of the things I wanted to talk about tonight was recently KUHF did a on their new local talk show, public affairs show called Houston Matters. They did a segment on...
I caught that. You were on it.
Yes.
You sounded wonderful.
Well, thank you. I thank you. They did, you know, how friendly is Houston to GLBT people compared to other cities across the country? And, you know, we've certainly come a long way, and you've been here through the entire history.
Sure.
And it has moved forward a lot, but we still have some ways to go. And, you know, and certainly a lot of people who are able to be open about their life, which they weren't able to be. You're, of course, the exception. You've always been open about your life. But a lot of people who worked in corporate environments, especially in the good old boy oil industry,
sure,
kind of thing, have
sure,
had problems. But
been here, done that.
But
demonstrated out front.
Yes,
yep.
Yes. But
I remember one time I got... some massive award, which came with a nice check at the Petroleum Club at the top of the Exxon building. And that was just about the time Exxon and Mobil were blending. And whenever they blended, it brought up an issue about spousal benefits and recognition in gay relationships, because Mobil already had those policies.
Right.
And Exxon was not, did not have those policies. And the decision was that as Mobil blended into Exxon, future employees would not have them, but they wouldn't take them away from existing employees that had enjoyed them under Mobil. I don't know if any of those people are left, and they probably cycled them all out, but I got this big award on the top floor in the Petroleum Club, and the next day I led a demonstration to the building. and not only... except for time off for bad behavior when I went to prison, I have been relatively successful as an openly in-your-face gay person.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
I mean, kind of in the old days when it was like Jack Hurd and Johnny Clevenhagen and all them redneck kind of
well,
images.
Actually, Clevenhagen was sort of on her side at first, right?
Well, I was in with all those people. The only reason Clevenhagen came to the caucus for support was because I said, get your ass over there and do this. You can take this. You know, thanks, because he was running in Democratic primary.
Yes.
And he said, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. And I said, I'm the chair of the committee. I mean, give me a break. And so he came in, and I left the room because my committee did everything. And it scared him to death. But they were prepared to listen to his thing. I even got that committee to endorse Billy Reagan, who made like a 50 out of a possible 100 points. And the committee chair, chair of that screening committee, said, how can we endorse this guy? I said, look, if you're leaving the old plantation, the cop pulls you over and you get a DWI, and you go to Billy Reagan's court, if it's your first DWI, he's going to give you probation. If it's the second DWI, he's going to give you probation. If it's your third DWI, he's going to give you probation. If it's your fourth DWI, you're going to a felony court anyway. There's not another judge in the building that will do that. Who do you think we should endorse? And we endorsed Billy Reagan, and he was a fine judge. Hired a gay person for his staff so that somebody would come tell him what to do.
Well, and Houston certainly has progressed a lot, but still, on the HRC score list, we are not doing that good. We don't have a non-discrimination ordinance.
No, we don't. We don't have any of the accoutrements that we should have. Don't get me wrong. I would, for one person in Houston, I would welcome a referendum. I would welcome, just go ahead and get city council or somebody to do it and see if Dave Wilson is going to waste any more of his money coming up with signatures for a referendum call, which I don't think Dave's going to do that. He has squandered half of his fortune trying to get elected without any chances at all. And he ran against the mayor last time she ran. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It didn't do any good. Didn't even scratch the surface. Now, the mayor didn't win by much.
But she won.
But she won, and she got over twice the votes that Dave got. And the other legitimate candidate, whose name escapes me, was the candidate for the firefighters, and they're always fighting with the mayor. But they split slightly less than half. And I believe Anise's margin was 1.86%. Or maybe it was just 0.86%. It was real close. But they spent a lot more money than she did together.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you, you know, live through this city, so much has changed.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much, the competition for talent among the major corporations is real important.
Sure.
And they want all diversities.
And even ExxonMobil are coming around. I mean,
so
we're right on the brink of some significant change. We're not there yet. We're not through yet. But you go down the street to Shell, we're fine. You go to the Phillips Conoco, we're fine. It's just the old school. Those folks still live in River Oaks, and they're still living off of, you know, Standard Oil of Texas, Humble Oil, Exxon. That's one continuum. That's really, really old Texas money. And, you know, when John Connally died, I read his obit in the Chronicle, because when he died, it's going to let me tell several stories that I wouldn't tell as long as he was alive. No, when his wife died. Because I didn't care whether John Connally lived or died, but when his wife died, I had several stories I was going to tell. And in the obituary in the Houston Chronicle, it listed one of her grandsons and his male companion.
Wow.
As a couple in the Connally family approved and written obituary. And I said, damn, I still can't tell that story.
Well, that's the interesting. I mean, Dick Cheney has a lesbian daughter.
Absolutely.
Yet his other daughter's running against for senator in
She's in a rednecking contest with Senator from Wyoming, so she can't even own her own sister. And her own sister is not real pleased with her position. I was talking this afternoon to a, well, not talking, community. You don't talk anymore.
Right, I know.
You message.
This is a dead medium, right?
You message, you know, and I hate that. I mean, I'd much rather a telephone conversation than a text message. But I'm talking to a lady from Leon County who lives right down the street between the Brushy Cemetery where the Hills are buried and the Taylor Cemetery where the Taylors are buried. And so I'm going to be buried there. And talking to her, and her depth of acceptance. Now, this is a country gal. She lives in the woods. And that I'm gay doesn't even get a wrinkle, doesn't even get an extra question mark. We have come a long way.
Yes, but Ray, not everybody is where you are. And we have a lot of people who work in jobs that are difficult to come by or don't necessarily pay very well.
Mm-hmm.
And people are very much afraid that if they lose that job, they may not find another one.
If you've got eight of those people listening, can I talk to them for just a minute?
Go ahead.
First of all, I want you to know that you're not by yourself. I mean, if something happens to you, there'll be a bunch of us upset. I remember when we boycotted Randall's food store because one person got fired. One person. We boycotted Randall's behind that. Fortunately, we had Brian Bradley to go in and chain himself on the milk carton, freezer, or cooler. And we've had some wonderful activists, but we brought Randall's food markets to their knees, not because we were all that activists and all that, but my lady and her servants from River Oaks were not going to cross that picket line to go into Randall's and squeeze the fruit when Jamail's is right down the street and Disco Kroger did better than it had ever done in its history during that boycott. And I remember when I went out with a transgendered companion, a woman that went travel with me to think, and one other person, and we went out to get Randall Olmsted's sword. He was going to surrender. The board had passed the non-discrimination ordinance we required about people with AIDS and gay people, and we went out to accept his surrender, and the day we got there, he had been up on the top of his building shooting a television commercial. And he was pretty slathered with makeup. And so I walked in. I didn't have any makeup. My transgender friend didn't have on a lot of makeup. So the most made-up person in the room was Randall Olmsted. Awkward, awkward, and we took advantage of that. But let me go back and talk to these folks. First place, you're not alone. In second place, your employer that you're afraid of is probably not as prejudiced as you assume they are. They tell those jokes that are embarrassing, and you have to sit there and bite your lip. But if it actually came down to firing you or denying you promotion, that is less likely than more likely in Houston, Texas today. And the other thing I want you to remember is once you overcome your fear and come out of the closet, the courage you have will just be added on to the many, many characteristics you have that benefit that company.
Well, I want to tell a story about you that I'm not sure you remember, but many years ago, this must have been in the early 80s, we had a caucus, at that time, Gay Political Caucus board retreat. It was on Bolivar Peninsula.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've told this story too many times.
And we got somebody's place to have the board retreat.
Mm-hmm. It was a women's building.
And then all of a sudden we realized it's like 6, 7 o'clock and it was time for dinner. And we're driving up and down the highway looking for, most places were closed.
Yeah.
And we find this place that was about to close and they saw 10 or 12 of us to walk in. And the guy decided to stay open for mm-hmm. us. And we're all sitting around the table laughing and talking and stuff like that. And the gentleman owner came by, I think he was the owner, and he's laughing with us too. And then all of a sudden he says, by the way, what are you all doing here? And the rest of us who were all supposed to be activists sort of all shut up. But you very proudly says, oh, we're from the board of the gay...
We are the board of gay political caucus.
And the guy's laugh just froze and walked away. But, you know, that is so important for people to be able to say who they are, what they are, in as many circumstances as they are. And the fact now that we do have people who don't just live in Montrose, they're living out in all parts of the city, all parts of the country, especially as the last census tells us that we have same-sex couples all over the country in almost every county.
Yep.
So we've definitely, and the media, of course, has helped a lot, too. But there still are those pockets of prejudice.
Let me tell you, the reason we cannot see the full progress we've made is because the iconic images of who our government is and what it's supposed to be include people like Greg Abbott, who just got supported by some weird ex-governor from Arkansas, not Bill Clinton, and Rick Perry, who thinks it's perfectly all right to campaign for the United States while stoned out of his mind on OxyContin.
Let's not forget Ted Cruz.
And Ted Cruz is a walking miracle and all of that. I mean, these people are too dumb to be embarrassed by their ignorance. So I'm comparing all of them to Gohmert. Gohmert is now the standard of comparison of people in power. But those are just people in power. And the reason they're in power is because they took, in a lot of ways, some of the technology developed for Houston Gay Political Caucus by Don Rockaby. Now, remember these names. Remember these names and go to gay archive gatherings and talk about these people. Don Rockaby was a computer wizard.
Before there really was computers.
Right. He was nerd before nerd. And he developed, he built the first caucus computer out of a Heath kit. People don't even know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yes.
But it was a box full of transistors. And he built the first gay political caucus computer out of a Heath kit. I'm surprised it didn't have vacuum tubes in it. And when he did that, he wrote the software. Now, this is pre-mail merge.
This is sort of the Steve Jobs in the garage days.
Absolutely. And it was the same stuff. And Don worked all this out so that our list, which you worked on input, mm-hmm. and our list could be, you put in somebody's address, and it automatically registered for the city council district, the constable district, the JP district, the state rep district, the Senate district, the U.S. representative district, and it would just spit out, the county commissioner's district, just spit it out. Whoever we had on the ballot, we could directly contact the voters in that district and get their butts to the poll when nobody else could do that.
Well, he also had an algorithm of that certain phone exchanges match certain zip codes.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't happen anymore. But back then,
you can be anywhere.
Certain parts of town had certain phone prefixes, mm-hmm. and he knew all that.
Yeah.
It was just absolutely amazing, the stuff he had. Now the stuff is, you know, you can buy the stuff off the shelf, but back then
If it had not been for Don Rockaby, we would not have had access to that technology for another decade. Clearly.
Right.
Because it would be another decade before that was commercially available.
Well, and not only that, the fact that our community was so closeted, and Don had a way to...
Not to Don's list.
No, not... But Don had people's names who they probably wouldn't want to give to anybody else. Or they may not.
If you walked in and you had an address book in your pocket, it was going to leave with Don Rockaby. That's true, because he wanted everybody's name. And it was at a time when we had to guarantee the secrecy of the list. We went through a lot of rigmarole on that. And I remember the time we went in to do some...
By the way, we're talking to Ray Hill.
I remember the time we went to do some shooting. We had cameras in Old Plantation. And we said, all right, if you don't want to be on camera, go over there.
Yes.
If you want to be on the camera, come over here. And then we looked up and there was no one over mm-hmm. there. And I said, well, maybe we finally arrived. But Anita had a lot to do with that. That changed everybody. I mean, the people that came out of the closet on June the 16th, 1977, literally did not go back in. Thousands, tens of thousands.
We're going to take a little break here. We're talking to Ray Hill, and you're listening to Queer Voices.
We meant to live inside a song that would go on and on and on, not in a couch in your echo. So we left you in a run, the way a bullet leaves a gun, the way a bullet leaves a wound. And we did everything you feared, danced to dark on rotting piers, and we forgot our love about you. We were crazy. We did everything that you warned us not to do, but the dirty truth is that we were right to full of teeth. Life is beautiful indeed. So we'll let our juices spread. We gave our skin away to make a playground place where we would let anybody play. There were reasons to your rules. We were stupider than fools when we laughed right in your face, and we were crazy. We were cruel. We didn't everything that you warned us not to do, but the dirt.